Welcome to the Hellbound podcast, hosted by myself, Alex Blackburn. And following on from last week, we have guest host Will Cotton back on board. How are you doing, Will?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, mate?
All right, yeah. So, thanks for joining us last week on the show. So you want to talk to me about, or talk to the audience about your three of your favourite horror movies?
Well, I thought, you know, because you mentioned on the show last time that I had a kind of an alternative taste, which I don't. I mean, I have still quite mainstream taste.
You do in some aspects of your life.
But I do. Well, yes. But that's a separate podcast.
Yeah, we'll have that spinning Batman logo and the sound on now.
Yeah.
Let's get past that.
So I thought, well, because you said that I have kind of like a different taste set to some people, that I'd just come on and talk about what horror movies that I like, what my favourite horror movies are, kind of just list them and then tell you about three horror films or a number of horror films that I think deserve
a bit more
attention. Now, you know, many of your viewers will have seen, you know, what I've selected three. They'll have seen maybe all three or, you know, whatever. But, you know, for them, you know, they can just hear me waffle about them. But I think there's a large number of people, and certainly younger people, who, you know, could actually really enjoy them if they haven't seen them.
So what made you kind of... I'm not going to say narrowed down to three, because we've all got favourites.
I just like the number three.
You know? Yeah, it's a nice round number, and for something like this, it's perfect. And for a podcast in this guise, it's ideal. So what was the first of the three?
Well, first, I kind of set the tone, really, by saying, as an individual, like my favourite horror films... You know, and I'm a big sci-fi guy as well, right? You know this, like, so there's a bit of crossover as well. But, you know, like my favorite horror films are like, my favorite horror film is The Exorcist. I, you know, I really like Hereditary. Yeah. Hereditary. I like, I've got to think of them now. You know, what else? I've got a list.
Hereditary's a fantastic movie. And from my point of view, The Exorcist is one of the greatest. It's one of the greatest... Yeah. 70s movies.
It's just one of the greatest movies ever made, mate.
And it is just worlds apart,
But pales in comparison to the brilliance of Alien.
That's an interesting point.
So Alien is obviously one of them.
Yeah.
And The Fly.
Oh, so Alien's one of them.
Alien is not one of the films I'm going to talk about today, because I think Alien gets talked about enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody wants to listen to me sort of wanking on about Alien for... however long, because that could be hours. That you
and
know.
We have got, we've all got at least two different versions of that.
We've movie. All got lives,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there's that. The Fly, Rosemary's Baby, Christine. I know you love a bit of John Carpenter, a bit of JC.
Yeah.
Jaws.
Yeah,
I think that's probably maybe the first horror movie that most people actually watch and don't even realize it's a horror movie.
Yeah,
but it definitely is. And if you don't agree, kiss my ass. you know, Hellraiser, and certainly the novel.
Oh, Hellraiser! If you've,
I think you've seen that, haven't you, mate?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, have you seen just a little? We'll come straight back to this. Have you seen the newest Stranger Things?
I have seen all of it. Yeah.
Have you seen how much Hellraiser is in that show?
Yeah.
Did you notice the stained glass windows in the house?
I didn't notice the design.
The roses. You know,
right.
You know that there's a Scouse.
Are you saying this is an intertextual reference?
Exactly. Massive, massive reference. So I think the two biggest influences on the show are probably Nightmare on Elm Street, and there's a Dream Warriors aspect to it as well. And, you know, with the Upside Down, there's a whole Dream Warriors thing throughout Stranger Things.
Well, yeah, because the fingerprints, the knife prints of Freddy are all over this Stranger Things as well.
Right? Oh, and obviously with Robert Englund, but, you know, the godfather of Freddy Krueger is...
Have you ever seen that film with... Robert Englund that he shot in the view down the road?
Yeah, so there's a cinema locally
to
Will and I... And there was a horror... What was the movie called?
I think it's called, like... Is it called, like, Midnight Show or something like that?
So there's a little audio bump then. So, yeah, there's a cinema locally to Will and I that Robert Englund shot in. It was a UGC at the time or something. And what was the horror film called?
It was...
Is it A View?
I think it was A View at the time, yeah.
I can't believe he shot there.
It's kind of strange to... Because... I can understand if you were shooting in a multiplex that had some fucking character, you know, but it's just the local view, which is my preferable.
Yeah, one of those vapid tomb-like cinemas, and that's a whole other topic. We'll talk about the future.
It's just a terrible film, which is, you know, mostly what Robert Englund makes. So
yeah. We'll in the show notes of the podcast, we'll put a link to that film. And I'm not surprised we haven't, we've forgotten the title of it. I've never seen it.
Don't bother watching it, guys. It's just go and do something else. Build something. It's
the just, show notes are just as much a warning as a go and see. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay.
So we'll make a note of that, that Englund film.
So other favourite horror films, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
Suspiria, both the new one and the original.
Yeah.
I quite like The Conjuring. You know, I know a lot of people don't like The Conjuring.
I love it. I do really like the other two as well.
I like The Conjuring. I'm big on to Mandy. I've kind of gone much more into the sci-fi thing, and I'm kind of exploring that. But when I was a kid, you know, when I was like 11, 12, 13, you know, I had a habit of recording long play, you know, and collecting horror films in long play, like two or three to a VHS tape, you know, like the 3-4 hour tapes or whatever. And so I had quite an extensive collection when I was a kid. So I've seen a lot of bad horror and a lot of good horror. But I really started out with like Dracula, you know, and Hammer.
Lugosi.
No, Hammer, man. Hammer is the three C's, bro. You know, colour. What is it? Colour, Christopher Lee and corsets. You know, that's my jam,
say
bro.
Crushing.
Well, yeah, you could do.
Yeah, great. Yeah. You can swap that corsets out. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the three C's, double yeah. D's.
That is Hammer, and if you don't know what you're talking about, check out Hammer Horror Films or the Blu-ray on the right, which is the clear box next to the Gamora, is the Hammer series my brother bought on Blu-ray for me. Yeah,
is it good? I think I've seen it actually.
I'm a bit reticent about watching that or like the Alfred Hitchcock Hour or whatever it is.
No, I've seen that. I think it's there's some episodes in there. It's actually pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. House of Blood, I think, might be one of them, yeah? Something like that. Yeah. I think it's got a title like that. It's actually pretty cool.
I'll have to check that out. But yeah, there's a lot of corsets, a lot of...
Or The House That Dripped Blood or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Or The House That Bled Blood.
Bled Blood.
Or The House That Bled Red.
That sounds like just part of a trilogy or something, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the Hammer movies.
The Hammer movies.
They're saying some of your favourites as well.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm born 81. You know, so I'm a child of the 80s and the 90s. So like Hammer and then kind of into Lost Boys and, you know.
Lost Boys is my wife's favorite horror.
Lost Boys is epic.
Still believe.
Epic, you know. So that's a great film, you know.
Yeah.
And so from that, and then when I was a teenager getting into The Thing and, you know, but like, mate, when I was 10, you know me, yeah. You know what I'm into, right? I'm like a hardcore Alien fan, you know. And I was collecting the comics and all that. So I kind of got into all of that and science fiction when I was a kid. And so
just tell me a little bit, and people that don't know you, tell us a little bit about, did you have like an older brother that introduced you to horror? Were you exposed to something when you were younger?
Hello.
That kind of pushed you towards horror. What's kind of your horror makeup?
I'm just a dark and twisted fuck, mate. I mean, like so I have a brother and sister, but they weren't really around when I was growing up, you know, so I kind of have an only child's life.
Yeah.
Basically, effectively. And, so, you know, I kind of, you know, some, my, I tell you, funny enough, cause I was thinking about this the other day, my earliest memory of a story, right, is the story of Colin Cucumber, right?
And Colin Cucumber.
Colin Cucumber, right? And I think a lot of people have this kind of situation, right? And I think it's interesting. So when I was a kid, my sister bought me, I think it was my sister.
A cucumber.
Bought me, no, let's not get into that, right? Maybe later, that's the other show. We're going to talk, we're going to do that other show.
Bro. After Dark.
After Dark, yeah. After Dark Descends. So she bought me this book, you know, like Colin Cucumber, right? And Colin Cucumber is the story of a man who is a cucumber, right? Right, but he has like arms and legs. It's, you know, he's anatomically correct. He's not like, you know, he's not just a cucumber.
Sounds like a Jeff Dunham puppet.
He's a humanoid cucumber, right?
Okay.
And I don't remember much of the story other than the end of the story. Like it's a bit of a down ending. He breaks his leg, and I'm probably like 2 or 3 years old. He breaks his cucumber. Yes, pickle. Right.
Oh my god.
You know all about pickles.
Yeah,
don't you,
I certainly do, mate. Yeah.
So he breaks his leg. Yeah. Right. And I'm a kid. Well, I'm a child.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean he breaks his, what do you mean his leg's broken? And, you know, my mum's reading me the story.
Oh, I see.
And she's like, you know, people sometimes break their bones, yeah. And that that was horror to me when I was a kid.
The
mortality
of mortality and pain and suffering.
Exactly.
It started there.
What's interesting about it is because I had a fear of the book, right? At the same time,
how old were you at this point?
I'm like 3 years old at most, you know. But like, I had a fear of the book, right? But I wanted my mum to read it, and it was still my favorite book.
Oh wow!
And so there's an attraction and a kind of not repulsion, but there's you want some distance from it, but there's a dread about it. And I even remember the colors and the palette of it and everything, right? And it was worrisome. It was worrisome to me, like existentially, right?
But at the end, you already knew how it ended.
Yeah, but I kept being drawn back to that.
Right.
Like, you know, I didn't think the ending was going to change in the story, you know, as my mum was reading it. I wanted to kind of revisit that thing yet. And then, you move on, and then she starts reading you fucking Treasure Island or whatever it is, you know. Well, I think my dad read me Treasure Island, you know. Yeah. Welcome to adult literature. You know what I mean, right? Which it isn't, but it
Penguin
is.
Penguin or whatever.
Fuck Penguin, right? So like...
Penguin books, that is.
No, Penguin are great. I'm only messing. But like, so that was the first thing that I remember being kind of like edgy and traumatic, but also that I enjoyed. And I think that, for me, explains a lot of what I like.
Right.
I'm attracted to the darkness. I want to be a spectator. I don't want to, you know, I think most of us who are kind of quite reasonably sane want to be. Sometimes, unfortunately, we're not. But, you know, I like to visit these kind of concepts that challenge us and kind of ingest them, digest them. And this is, so a lot of what I like is that it runs in that kind of vein, like,
yeah, that's really fascinating, and you can see that. I think a lot of people would agree with that, and will be able to see where you're coming from, because horror is. It used to put the fear of God into me. Now I watch it from an entertainment point of view. It's not like anything's going to change or someone's going to survive or gets killed at the end of the film, but it's like there's a level of comfort to know what's going to happen at the end. But I love peeling back the kind of the layers or my understanding of things. And when I watch a film, say like Hellraiser or The Exorcist, I get a lot more, every 5 or 10 years I watch it, I get a lot more from these movies. And I think it's great to be able to see where your, not your fear, but your fascination with horror comes from. And I didn't know this story till now.
Mm-hmm.
So Colin the Cucumber. Did you ever revisit this book?
I've looked for it on eBay. I have seen it. And I saw it in a charity shop a couple of years ago.
Right.
And I was tempted to buy it, but I bought like 5 or 6 other books.
Better books.
Well, there's no better book than Colin Cucumber. What are you talking about? But you know,
we're going to put a link into where to get it on eBay next. So yeah, that's what we'll do.
So there's always been things like that, you know. And so my list of favorite horror films, you know, they're pretty mainstream. You can find them. Most people have seen them, right? But that kind of informs the sort of thing that I find. Look, you know, what The Exorcist is interesting. I know we're going to talk about these three movies and stuff, but I'll just say this, like. But the Exorcist is interesting to me for it's a much more complex version of the same thing.
Right.
So The Exorcist is interesting to me because the first time I watched it, I thought it was crap. I went to see it on general re-release in the late 90s or the mid to late 90s. It had this massive reputation behind it as a banned movie, you know, with the video nasties, whatever reason why it was banned, yeah.
The cut version.
Or the original theatrical, edited, censored version, right? And I went to see it, and the only section of the film that I thought was good was when she's being, like, scientifically, medically tested.
Yeah, I know. The sleep Linda clinic,
Blair.
Is it?
Is Linda Blair the protagonist of The Exorcist? I don't think
is
she
it is. Is it a sleep clinic?
She's just having like loads of fucking crazy scans, and they're injecting all kinds of like radioactive materials into her and tracing where it's going in her brain and stuff, you know. And I really, really didn't like it, mate. I thought it was gash. I thought it was utter shit.
And when was the first time you watched that?
And that's probably like 90, I think it's maybe 97.
Okay.
97, 98, and I still have the ticket from that actually as well.
Gash for anyone outside the UK means cunt. Rubbish. It means rubbish. Beep, 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 beep. It's like it's going to be like SOS Titanic. The bleeping of the
we both swear a lot, yeah. But I like fuck is a comma to me, so I do apologise to your audience, but I don't care.
No, I think the only one I'll bleep out is the C word, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah, Americans. Yeah.
And if it comes up, it's not a problem.
The Australians will love it though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway.
So
The Exorcist.
So The Exorcist. So I watched it, right, and I thought it was naff, mate. Right, naff. And then years later, probably when I was just before I went to uni and met you.
Yeah.
I saw it on TV. Again, the theatrical edition, the re-released theatrical edition. And I watched it and I was like, actually, this is kind of quite entertaining. I thought it was a bit funny, but I was like, this is kind of interesting, you know. I kind of enjoyed it somehow, but I still didn't think it was great, you know. And then when I heard about Friedkin's, I'm a big Friedkin fan now. Like, but yeah,
Billy Friedkin.
I would actually like to be William Friedkin as a filmmaker. That's kind of probably who I'd like to be. But I kind of, I'd heard that there was a director's cut, and we were at uni then, and I was like, you know what? It was first year, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna check this out. So I bought it, and I took it home, and I watched it on the TV, and then I couldn't turn the fucking light off.
Yeah.
And I got it, you know. And you know, maybe it's because of the time that it was made in or whatever, right? Yeah. But that film, I think, is incredible. I think it's one of the best films ever made.
Yeah.
And
do you know what the scariest part of that film is for me? And it. I constantly think about
I'm going to interrupt you.
Just right? Go right ahead, yeah.
But the reason this connects to Colin Cucumber, right? Good old Colin, yeah. The reason this connects to Colin Cucumber is because that for me, there's a kind of an attraction to this concept, obviously, of the possession of, you know, all this sort of stuff, right? Not that I want to be possessed or anything, but like in the examination of what's going on in the film, what's going on in the family, what's going on with the girl, what's going on with the priest, his lack or thereof of faith, you know, faith, the proceedings, the way the film is made, maybe it's because it's, you know, a faux documentary in some ways, you know, like it has that approach, you know, whatever it is, the sum of its parts, how it works and the subject matter and the vehicle in which the demon, the devil, you know, is moving around. For me, it opens up. And this is a theme with all my favorite horror films, right? It opens up the place in one's imagination, and then it doesn't close it for you, right? So after the film, you can't turn the light off. I still can't totally watch you know, look, kids out there, you know, if you're listening to this and you're watching The Exorcist, you're like, this is shit. The Conjuring's much better, right? Fair enough, yeah. And I used to think that way, right? But the way that the film works, it opens up your imagination and it leaves the imagination open. So you start worrying about like
everything, you know, facets of your life.
Facets, right. Yeah. And you because get that dread.
It's a pure attack on, you think you're, you know, having a good life or you're surrounded by people like on the movie set in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And well, fear, I mean, it's going to strike you at any point. Yeah.
Well, just like at a much more fundamental level than that. Yeah. Like my imagination, it leaves my imagination turned on. And it's set in a tone.
Yeah.
Right. And then I can't turn the light off and I have to put like happy music on. Like I'll only watch it in the day now. Or if I watch it at night, I have to watch it with somebody else. Yeah. I turn into a big child. Right. Because like I can't, and I can take a lot, mate. Yeah. I can take a fucking lot.
I've been told that as well.
Oh, that's very good. I'll get you back later. You know, so. But it that's what's fascinating to me. And it's the same thing with Colin Cucumber. The draw to the experience of this character breaking the leg opens up my questions and answers, right? And then if I'm after The Exorcist, and the same with Hereditary as well, like it leaves me with a tone, a way of feeling, but my imagination's open as well.
Yeah.
So if I'm in the dark after I watch The Exorcist, I start to think like, is there something here with me?
Yeah.
And it's a creative experience, but it's not a pleasant one.
I totally agree with every point you made.
I hope any of that makes sense to me.
It's one of the greatest films ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, we'll talk about our favorite moments.
It's not as good as Cruising though, mate.
Is that?
That's Friedkin, yeah.
Is that Friedkin? Al Pacino, yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about our favorite moments from The Exorcist.
I'm not even being ironic there, mate. I think Cruising is fantastic. Like,
I've not seen Cruising, but I will watch it. When I watched Salem's Lot recently,
mm-hmm.
I do like some TV movies.
Have you read the book?
I've read the book. I've got the book. I you know, there's a lot of Stephen King that I love, but there's a moment or sequences in Salem's Lot that terrify me and stick with me. And I agree with everything you said about The Exorcist in terms of how it affects you. It's one of those great movies.
You can't turn it off afterwards.
It's so scary after, it's scarier after the movie.
It like stimulates your fear center.
Yeah.
Right. And it switches it on and then it doesn't turn it off.
Well, in Salem's Lot, I watched a few months ago and I bought it on Blu-ray. I thought, right, I'll watch the movie. I'd never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize it was a miniseries. I thought it was a movie. James Mason and the chap from Starsky and Hutch, he's in it, the blonde one.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a moment in it where the boy, because these kids are disappearing.
Yeah.
And there's one of the kids that disappears. He floats towards his friend's window.
Right, yeah, I remember.
And
yeah.
it's a very similar scene. It's Tobe
Hooper,
scene.
That, right?
I think it is, yeah. Very similar scene in Lost Boys as well, the older brother's outside the window.
Mm.
And he's asking permission to come in. But there's like a pure violation of a child being taken away and turned. And
well, it's in the subtext as well, right?
Exactly, yeah. So when I finished watching that, I was, you know, I'd had a few drinks. I watched it super late. Not anymore. I've lost £5 in a week.
You still haven't found it.
Yeah, I'm late Marlon Brando, like the score weight at the moment. That's how I feel. I'm like waddling around. But when I walked into the hallway of the house, all I saw in doorways that were dark was that boy floating towards me.
Right.
And it scared the hell out of me. And The Exorcist has a way more profound feeling and...
because it's intangible,
exactly.
You know, it's not a what's the word for it? It's not a subjective creature.
Yeah.
It and this idea that it can, you know, it can inhabit spaces, whether human or.
For me, it's got two of my favorite moments in cinema when the doors opened to. The priest to Max von Sydow's character, when that door's opened and he's silhouetted, it's one of the greatest shots in cinema. It's
iconic.
Iconic.
It's beyond iconic. Like
the shot that inspires the poster art with the light coming from the window. It's just amazing. Well, my second favorite moment, and for me, is the scariest, and it really hit home for me in terms of pure terror, thinking about my mortality, my families, and all of that. Was I think he's dreaming about his mother.
Yeah,
being lost.
I agree with that.
That's
totally.
So
yeah.
Scary.
The nightmare.
So
it's a dream.
Yeah. She's wandering around New York or something.
Well, most importantly, right? So she's dead.
That's terrifying.
I can't remember.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
She's dead, right? And she's
looking for him.
She's shouting, Dimmy, Dimmy, right? And then she walks down into the subway, which is in itself contextual, right? Because what's he about to do? What's he contending with, right? So is she, you know, and then of course, when the devil's, you know, talking to him in her voice, you know, is she in hell? Or is he just mocking him? Or is it both? Or, you know, so, you know, but I mean, for me, I think, the scariest scene in The Exorcist still is when the girl is getting her medical, she's being put through all this agony and stuff. I still think, and the sound design of that machine, dun, 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 you know, it's kind of really.
Well, the sound design of, I think, Freaking, or it's not, maybe it's a 70s thing.
Well, actually, mentioning Cruising, do you know the trivia? Do you know about the trivia about this? Like about... No. So that scene in The Exorcist, one of the medical aides or the doctors, whatever it is a guy and he has a bracelet on. Freakin' talks about this in one of his like fucking YouTube things, you know. He's wearing this bracelet, right?
Okay. And
Cruising is about an undercover cop who, you know, goes into the you know, this underground S&M gay lifestyle, you know, in New York or whatever. I've only seen this film once, so if I get this wrong, viewers, I apologize. Please don't get in the comments. You know, if you do, fuck off. And and so, you know, he's like, get a life.
I back those comments up as well.
And Al Pacino, and there's a whole question about, does Al Pacino get like sucked into the decadence of you know, the enjoyment of that whole crazy lifestyle, right? But he's also looking for a serial killer, right? And that's based on a true story. Right. And the true story of who that serial killer is the guy who is wearing the bracelet in The Exorcist, who's seeing who's overseeing Linda Blair's treatment and examination. That is the real serial killer.
And so the actor that plays Doctor.
It's not an actor. It's an actual guy. It's an actual medical aide who is like going through the process to make the authenticity of the story.
So who just to clarify this, who's the guy? The guy with the bracelet in The Exorcist, is he a technician? Who is he on screen?
So the Cruising, right? So the Cruising. Cruising is a fictional account of somewhat a real series of murders of gay men who died in, I think, in the village in New York in like this, in the 70s, right? The guy who was doing it in reality, the guy who is fucking up these gay guys,
who the
cruising movie is based on, yeah, is the physician in The Exorcist.
The actual actor that's in the physician in that scene.
He is a physician playing a physician.
Wow.
And Friedkin found out about this, and then I think later went and did a series of interviews with him and whatnot. And he was, because Friedkin was like, oh, what's this bracelet? And this guy started to explain to him what the bracelet, what the symbolism of
which
it meant, what
did,
he liked.
Which film did he make first?
He made The Exorcist first.
Wow, that's really... Is that life imitating art or something? Or
I think that's just that's conflation just, of circumstance, right? You know,
that's
crazy, well, right?
That's a whole other show in itself. That kind of wow, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
We're not even going to talk about this film.
Yeah, so that's Cruising.
That's Cruising.
That's a Will second,
which is a horror film. Actually, I'd love to see the uncut version of that, but so, I'm not that that's my thing. So, but yeah, maybe it could be my thing. I could give it a go.
The Exorcist is something we'll definitely revisit. We'll probably do an after watch at some point where Will and I sit down and
in
watch
the daytime.
It. In the day, no, it's not going to be in the daytime. I won't allow that. That's like me and Paranormal Activity.
I'm not me. I'm honestly, yeah. I like if I watch it with you, it's okay at night. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to watch it on my own for research. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's absolutely fine. We'll definitely watch that together.
I don't want anybody to think I live on my own. I'm not a Billy, although my name is William.
So what's the second horror flick you'd like to
watch? No, this is the first, right? So I'm sorry I've talked about The Exorcist, I wasn't going to. So I have... So I have three films that I would... you know, we could just do this quickly or we can do this however you want it.
Let's go for...
Do you want to just do one at a time?
Let's do one at a time, yeah.
So...
Actually, you know what? We're going to hold that off. We're going to hold that off and we're going to tantalize you a little bit further, viewers or listeners. We're going to bring Will back next week or the week after.
Do I get petrol money for this?
You'll get at least KFC out of it.
I'd rather have the money.
We'll bring Will back to finally reveal, and I think we'll call this episode Tangent.
I'm sorry, viewers. I know in the last episode I said that I was going to reveal these three films, and then in this episode I've gone on a massive fucking tangent.
That's what you call being blue balled.
I think so. You need to make this episode longer. Go on.
So yeah.
I need a piss.
Yes. Yeah, so that's we'll reveal next week. I think give Mike another break. We'll reveal three films that we'll like to talk about, horror films. So yeah, please join us for that, and hopefully we'll have Michael back soon. And yeah, enjoy horror, go watch horror, support horror in any way you can. Support us at the Hellbound Podcast on Instagram. And if you want to check out our website, it's hellboundhorrorfestival.com. So that's myself, Alex, and our guest host, Will Cotton. So we'll see you next week. Is there anything else you want to say at the end?
You can find me at Will J. Cotton. No, probably messing.
For all those political views, you can find him at beep.